Call your attention to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Luke 2. I'm amazed at how God puts things together. The Bible reading that Chad read to us today and we read back to him today was the same passage that I used in Sunday school. Then the song that Doug and Tammy just sang, Mary Did You Know, that goes right along with the message today about the deep thoughts of Mary. The text will come from Luke chapter 2. So evidently, you need to know Luke chapter 2 today. You say, why is that? Well, sometimes, you know, the older we get, you know, we forget stuff. Benny just said no, but he might lie about something else. I'm astounded the older I get. I'm amazed how fast time goes. Today is the birthday of Michael and Malachi Lindsay, twin boys. It was last week when those boys were born, and they've both graduated from college now. That's nuts to me. Time flies, and we need to remember things. I don't know if this is true, but there are people that believe that Mary didn't just think about things and remember them in her mind, but she literally wrote them down. You know, until, I don't know, a few years ago when I first read that somebody thinks that, I never even considered that. But can I tell you that that could be so? That could be so. In my home right now, I haven't looked at them in probably 40 years. But 50 years ago, when I was in college, I began to journal. And at the end of the day, I would write things down that had happened that day, if I'd witnessed to somebody or if I had learned something scripturally, and I would just jot it down. And I kept a notebook, and every year I would have notebooks like that. Now, I've not done that in a long time, and I've not looked at those in a long time, but I've often thought, you know, I ought to just go get those notebooks, and I ought to just look back through it just to see what happened in 1978. Go back and look and see what happened in 1976. I'm wondering now, over the time that I have been studying the Bible, I think Mary may have wrote some stuff down. I know that she remembered it. The Bible tells us this. And it is a very common knowledge among scholars, very common, that when Luke was writing his book, the book of Luke, now he wrote two, the other one was the book of Acts. But when he was writing the book of Luke, he interviewed eyewitnesses. And with the information that he includes in the Gospel of Luke, there is no doubt in my mind that he interviewed Mary, the mother of Jesus. He includes things that none of the other gospel writers include. How would he know those things? He was not there. He knows it because he interviewed the eyewitnesses, one of them being Mary herself. And so I want us to look this morning at verse 19. It says simply this, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The first thing that I want you to think about is I want you to think about a wonder in her mind. Now, I want you to understand the word wonder there. It is not W-A-N, where that her mind was just all over the map. Wonder, the way that it's spelled here, W-O-N-D-E-R, it has the idea where that she contemplates it. She rolls it over in her mind over and over and over. The song that Doug and Tammy just sang, Mary, Did You Know? I don't know that she knew everything that was going to transpire, but I'm telling you right now, she remembered it. The word ponder has the idea to think about it. To use an old English word that is in the Psalms, to muse on it. I preached one time out of Psalms, while I was musing, the fire burned. That old English word has the idea of thinking deeply. I don't know about you, but I like the middle of the night. When I say the middle of the night, I'm talking about like 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Because in that time, sometimes when I am in and out of sleep, it seems as though that my thinking is much more clear than it is during the day when everything is coming and going at you, right and left, up and down, and all around. There's something about, you know, napping or sleeping that's good. Now, they used to accuse Reagan of, you know, of not being able to work hard or not wanting to work hard, and that, you know, that he always wanted a nap. And he used to joke about it and say, well, working never killed anybody, but why take the chance? Well, I don't believe that, but I do think that whenever we calm ourselves, when we just kind of, you know, take the throttle off of high, just kind of let it slow down and idle, I think that's a good thing. Thomas Edison used to do this when things would get frantic. What he would do is he would take a nap, and he would take a steel ball, he would put it in his hand, and he would lay there, and he would try to go to sleep, and when he would finally fall asleep, his hand would open, and the ball would hit the ground or hit the floor, and it would startle him. He would wake up, and he felt like that at that moment he had more clarity for a problem that he had been trying to solve than any other time. I think this is Mary. I think that is the idea that Luke has when it talks about how that she has kept these things in her heart and she has pondered those things in her heart. And so it has the idea of something that you're thinking about. You're trying to connect the dots. Now, I don't know if you ever have thoughts like that, but I have this often. What is God trying to teach me through this? What is God trying to teach me through that? Now, I hope that you're not this way, but if you name the name of the Lord, you ought not look at things as just go, well, it's no big deal, just coincidence. You ought to look at the things that befall you, and you ought to say, what is God teaching me through this? Now, when you think about her pondering, what do you think about? I think about the fact that she is not really sure of everything. Now, she's sure of some things. She's sure that an angel began talking to her. She knew that Gabriel said, you're going to be a vessel of the Lord. She didn't understand that. She said, how am I going to do that? I've never known a man. And he says, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and you're going to conceive, and you're going to give birth to the Son of God. I've referred to it already twice, but I love that little phrase in the song that Doug and Tammy sang about, did you know that you kissed the face of God? I think she probably knew that, but she didn't know everything else. You say, why do you believe that? It's in the same chapter. I want you to go with me to the end of the chapter, and I want you to look at verse 48. In chapter 2, verse 48, one of the things that you will know is this, that there is 12 years that has passed between the first part of the chapter and this part of the chapter. That's not an uncommon thing in the Bible. There are times in the Bible when there'll be one verse and then there'll be a second verse, and between the first and second verse is 20 years, 30 years. That's something that that is common, especially in the Old Testament. But here in this chapter, you have 12 years from the beginning to the end of it. The birth, and now Jesus is 12 years old. And if you look at verse 48, what's happened is they have come to Jerusalem for a holy day. They are leaving. They have traveled a whole day. And at the end of the day, whenever they're getting their crew together, Jesus and probably his younger siblings, they don't find Jesus. They have to turn around, leave the caravan that's headed back to Nazareth. They leave and they go back to Jerusalem where the holy day has been. And they find him a day later in the temple. And it says, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? She did not understand what he was doing. You say, well, when my son does something at 12 years of age, bless God, he's going to do what I tell him to do. Well, you don't have Jesus as a boy. You see, Jesus has never one time done something he wasn't supposed to do. He never stole a cookie from the cookie jar. He never told a lie. He never sassed. He did what he was supposed to do. He was impeccable even in his childhood. And so she says, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wished you not, or know you not, that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying. So in other words, when she was given that announcement from Gabriel, she did not get access to everything. This was a learning situation. And here 12 years later, she's not understanding it, and she's thinking, what is he trying to teach us now? Goes on to say in verse 51 that after they left the temple in Jerusalem, they went down to Nazareth and was subject unto them. In other words, Jesus began to just do what they said again. He was just the ever obedient child. And then listen to what it says for the second time in this chapter about her. But his mother, Mary, kept all of these sayings in her heart. The word kept, whether it be in verse 19 or whether it be in verse 21, it has the meaning of the word treasure. In other words, she was holding on every word. Whatever he said, she wanted to remember it. And so at night, perhaps she would have a piece of papyrus. Maybe she had some type of animal skin, which I doubt. It was probably more likely some type of more economical substance like a papyri or papyrus. And that's where she would maybe make the notes that she would write, and she would remember these stories about him and his childhood. And so she did not know. Give you a second story. From the time that he is born until his ministry begins sometime after 30. Now, some people say it began at 30. I don't know if that's accurate, but I know it was sometime 30 or close after. What does it say in John chapter, I think it's John 2? It says this. They were at a wedding at Cana of Galilee. His mother is there. At this wedding, you've got to remember, weddings went for 7 days. It wasn't like my weddings. Hey, you come to my wedding, you're out in 15 minutes. I figured, hey, they're not there to see the preacher. They're there to see the couple. Let's put the focus on them. But in biblical times, 7 days. I mean, it was a party. It was a party. Now, the couple, every evening, they'd spend the evening by themselves. But the next day, party was back on again. They run out of wine. And so what do? They come to Mary and they say, what are we going to do? She goes, I got an idea. Now, that's a Tommy paraphrase. It's not the KJV. I've got an idea. Or as the people in South Georgia say, I got an idea. I've got an idea. Go to Jesus. And he goes, woman, my time's not yet. She doesn't even acknowledge that. She looks at the servants, and this is what she says. She says, whatever he tells you to do, you just do it. That's it. She don't know what he's going to say. She wasn't privy to that when he was born in Bethlehem. Oh, no. She didn't know what was going to happen when he was 12, so she just ponders it. She hides it. She treasures it in her heart. And now, in his early 30s, his ministry is beginning. And she says, whatever he says, do it. I don't know what he's going to tell you, but whatever it is, just do it. And so she ponders it. As I began to think about her pondering, my thought was this. How much do I think about what God does in my life? There are conversations that I have with people on a daily basis. And there's never a time when those conversations are done that I'm not thinking, what is God trying to teach me through that? There's never an experience that I don't have that I'm not thinking, what is God trying to teach me through that? I mean, every little aspect, I believe God's a part of it. Can I tell you, and you may think I'm nuts. A lot of people do. You may think I'm nuts, but I even thank God for making a green light or getting stopped at a red light. Maybe if I got stopped and I was in a hurry, God wanted me to just slow down. This not be so intense. It could be that he's saving my life from something that's happening down the road. And so I thank God even for red lights and green lights. You go, I don't think God's interested in that. I think that God's interested in the hairs on your head. He knows how many of them there are. We're not talking about some God that's absent. We're not talking about some God that's gone on a vacation. We're talking about the God that knows every time a sparrow hops along the ground, he knows that about you. You're greater than sparrows. And so, do you think about God in those terms? Do you think about God every time he has given you the ability to pay a bill? Do you think about God every time he has given you the blessing of cheap gas? I had something happen to me last week. Haven't had this happen in 3 years that I'm aware of, that I can remember, because I didn't write it down. Last Sunday, Brother Robert and Miss Rena said, have you been to the new Kroger in Bethlehem? Didn't even know there was a Kroger in Bethlehem. I don't really keep up with that kind of stuff. They said, Boston butts are on sale for 99 cents a pound. And I'm going, wow, I haven't heard 99 cents in about 3 years. And so next morning, 7 o'clock, I'm in Bethlehem. I bought a dozen of them. You say, why? Somebody might want one. I cooked two the other day and was able to give it to like 4 people. And they were like, man, that's good. And I'm thinking, it is good. I tasted it. Can I tell you that I thank God that they told me about that And I was able to get a blessing to go buy those, and I'll be able to bless other people. I believe God does stuff like that. And I thank God for that. And I remember how that God guides in everything. God provides in everything. God protects us all the time. Do you ponder those type of things? Mary did. I'll guarantee you that she thought about the things that were going on. And I got to hurry because we're taking communion today. She thought about the fact that an angel came and announced it and gave her confidence, knowing that even though she was a virgin, she was still going to be the chosen one to be able to give birth to the Messiah. She didn't forget that. She didn't forget when the first visitors were not royalty, but just common men that kept sheep. She didn't forget that. She kept all of those things, and she treasured every single one of them. Now, let me share something that I think was pretty cool. I think that when you read Luke chapter 1, you find her going to a relative's house. She's going to probably her cousin, Elizabeth, who's a little older. She's just a young girl. I'm guessing Mary's probably 16, maybe 17. But she goes to an older cousin's house, a relative's house, and her name's Elizabeth. Why did she go see her mama? Let me ask you something, ladies. When you had maybe your first child, speaking to those that have given birth now, when you had your first child, who was you asking advice from? You went to your mama most of the time. But see, we don't know anything about the background of Mary. But I know this. I know that when she heard this, the first thing she did, she went to somebody that she trusted. Maybe her mother had died. You know, longevity in those days was not that common. I mean, you've got some aberrations like in the Gospel of Luke, also in this chapter, with old people like Simeon and with a lady named Anna. But the longevity was not that common. So maybe her mother had already died. Maybe her mother had abandoned her. But I know this. I know that she made a beeline to somebody, and that person came into her life, and she was experiencing God in her life at the same time. Because you see, 6 months before Mary got pregnant, Elizabeth, who was barren, had gotten pregnant, and she was pregnant with John the Baptist. And so these ladies got together, and they're talking, and they're talking, and they're talking, and I'm thanking God I wasn't there. You say, why is that? Because I'm telling you, women like details. I don't need the details. Just give me the big picture. When Debbie and I first got married, I would call my mom twice a week. I called her on Sundays, and I'd usually call her on Wednesdays. We didn't talk long because back then you didn't have cell phones that included long distance. You paid for long distance. But Debbie and her mom talked every single day. When everybody else's phone bills were $35, ours was $135. You say, what did you do? Didn't matter. You say, did she not care? Oh, she cared. But her mom would send us a check every month for about $125, and so we just used that to pay for the phone bill. You know why her mama did that? Because she wanted to hear from her daughter. And they talked, and they would talk, and she would say, did you call your mom? Yeah, I did. How's she doing? She's doing good. Well, what are they doing? I guess they're going to the grocery store. I don't know. You didn't ask. I don't care what they're doing. She said, well, my mom and I, we talk about details. And I said, I don't need to. And she said, I just don't understand men and their conversations. I said, well, I'll take that back at you because I don't understand what you guys talk about. Can you imagine Elizabeth, who is the mother-to-be of John the Baptist, and Mary, the mother-to-be of the Lord Jesus, and the months that they spent together, how that they talked? Can you just imagine how that they praised God? And in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, there is a song that's there. I told my Sunday school class about it last Sunday. It is called the Magnificat. And it's called Mary's Song. And how that she is praising God. Elizabeth is the exact same way. Can I tell you that God brings people into your life, and your life will be better because of it? Now, if you find somebody that's in your life and they're always sucking the life out of you, find a different group to hang out with. But if you have got somebody that you gee and haw with, it'll make you better. Iron sharpens iron. Some of the greatest friends that I have in this church are closer to me than some of my blood relatives. If I needed something at 3 o'clock in the morning, I could call my brothers in this church and they would be there in 30 minutes. That's how close we have been for many years now. I gotta hurry. Number two, I want you to see there's a working that's in her life. Look at verse 26. And she received, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That's a man named Simeon. Mary and Joseph go to see Simeon, and his heart is blessed because he has seen the Christ child. I have used Simeon in a lot of funeral services. Because in chapter 2 with old Simeon, this is what it says. He said, now mayest thy servant depart in peace. Now Jesus was just getting started, but he had been told by the Holy Ghost he wouldn't die until he saw the consolation of Israel, which is a name for Messiah. But now if you look back at chapter 1, verse 26, you also see this. You see where it says that in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So it begins to give the details now. So what is she thinking about? God has chosen me from Hicksville. Nazareth, little baby place. When you think of between is bigger numerically than Nazareth was. Between's only a little community. There's a red light there now. It used to be a caution light. Now there's a red light there. All right? There's more than 500 people in the community of between. But it's been estimated that Nazareth had between 400 and 2,000. Most people lean toward the lower end. So this young girl, minding her own business, gonna get married, wonderful man, and an angel shows up. Now, if an angel showed up in your life, would you think, well, God might be working in my life? Well, if you got any sense, you'd be thinking that. Well, what else? She's living a peaceful life. She's living a life that, you know, most girls would say, well, I mean, I'm going to get married. That's good. Something that's in the heart of most young ladies is they want to get married. So she's probably thinking about that, but she's troubled by what he says to her. And And he says, don't fear about that. He says, because you have found favor with God. So now she begins to see God working. I mean, I don't want people accusing me of having a child out of wedlock, but now God has given me confirmation that that's not what's happening here. So there's a working of God in her life. This is how it's going to happen. You're going to conceive. You're going to bear this child. But one of the things that in chapter 2, old Simeon tells her is this. He says, there's going to be a sword that's going to pierce your heart. And that's true. Now, I've not lost a child that has come to full term. Yesterday, I was sharing with the Walkers some thoughts about babies in heaven. Because Ron and Janice, they've had 3 miscarriages. They have children after that, but they've had 3. And I was telling them, I said, Debbie and I, we had our miscarriage before Sarah was born. And I said, it could be that when Ron steps over, that after he sees the face of the Lord may say, Ron, let me introduce you to some people. And he gets to see 3 people, 3 babies. Now, they're not in baby form, but there's 3 beings, and he may get a chance to see and know them long before Janice does. You say, do you really believe that? As much as I'm standing in this pulpit, I'm telling you, God can make that happen. I believe that if I'm talking to the Lord and I'm saying, Lord, if you would do this, I'd like for you to just tell my mama that I'm doing good. You go, you pray nutty prayers. You're praying for stoplights, and now you're praying for God to give your mama a message. Yeah, I do stuff like that, okay? Because I believe God listens to me. Not that I'm special. If you'll try it, he'll listen to you. God works in us. Don't ever doubt that. If you are a Christian, his wondrous things are a marvel to behold. You ought to thank God just walking in your backyard. You ought to go, man, that's some good-looking grass. At my house, I'm going, man, that's some good-looking weeds. Lord, that is a fine tree. Thank you that I wasn't under it when the limb fell. The creation of God is a wondrous thing. And God is using that to work in our lives because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what the psalmist tells us. So she is seeing God working in her young life. The young people that are over here, you guys ought to take it to the bank that God is working in your life right now, not later. He's starting to do things in your life right now, not down the road. He's doing it now. And just like she did not understand everything that was happening, she knew some things that were happening. She knew that there was an angel that had talked to her. She knew that God was directing she and Joseph. Why? Because he said, all right, Herod's going to try to kill the baby. Go to Egypt. And they go out of Nazareth down into Egypt. And then when Herod dies, the angel says, now go home. And so back to Israel they go. And all of that is prophecy. And it's one prophecy after another that she sees coming true in her life. God's working in her. And he's working it in you. Number 3. She had a welcome heart. In verse 19, she's pondering these things in her heart. Verse 51, what is she doing? She's keeping these things in her heart. She's treasuring them. So that means that if she's treasuring the things of God in her heart, that means she's got a welcome heart. I don't think that her heart was uncommitted. I don't think that she was a double-minded person where she had one foot in the world and one foot with the Lord. I think that when God saved her and she began to be a vessel to be used of God, she was all in and she said, Lord, my heart is yours and I open it to you. There is no reservation whatsoever. The word kept there, as I mentioned earlier, it means to treasure. She is putting this in a special, special place. Now, I don't have a whole lot of treasure. I've got a little blue plastic case that's got a little thing that you can turn and lock. And literally, it's like 6 or 8 inches. But in that, I've got some things that mean some things to me. I got a high school ring. 45 years ago, Debbie tried to hawk it because gold was high. I'm thinking about now because gold's high. I wouldn't let her sell it 40 years ago. But my high school ring is in there. Now, it don't fit. I can put it on my pinky, but it don't fit my regular ring finger anymore. It's got a $2 bill in there. My daddy gave that to me, and he said, don't ever spend this. So I've got a $2 bill that's in that little plastic thing. I've got a pocket watch that Deb bought for me when we were newly married. And you say, well, why don't you use the pocket watch? It don't keep good time. But the reason that I got it is because Curtis Hudson had one. And I thought, if Dr. Hudson wears a watch, I'm wearing a watch. I've got that watch that's in there. And there's a couple of the other pictures that are in there. That's my treasure chest. But my real treasure chest is what's in here. It's where the Lord resides. It's where the love for my family resides. I could lose everything in that house that we live in, and we'd be okay. As long as I've got it in my heart, we'll be okay. She had a welcome heart to the things of the Lord. Now, let me close by simply saying this. Let me give you some takeaways. Recognize the Lord working in your life. I'm telling you, He does. He works in your life on the job that you got. He works in your life if you're retired. He works in your life if you don't have a job right now. Recognize the working of God in your life. And even when you don't understand what He's doing, and God knows there's been time in my life when I'm saying, Lord, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Just a moment ago, and I don't want to embarrass him, Roger come up to me and put his arm around me, and he said, I'm back. He's been going through some deep water recently, and he's back. I know exactly what he means. I went through about a 3-month period years and years and years ago. And all of a sudden, when that cloud lifted, it was like, whew, thank God. God's working in you. Number two, when you remember the key details, think about them over and over and over and over again. I was talking to a lady yesterday, and she said, I'm sad that my child will not really remember my dad. This is Ron's daughter talking. And I looked at her and I said, it's up to you to make sure that doesn't happen. She said, what do you mean? I said, your baby's small. And she will have glimpses of her granddaddy. I said, but you ought to constantly talk about your granddaddy and remember when, when he did this, when he did that. And can I tell you that when I was a little boy, I lived at my granddaddy's house. my biological mom and or my mom and my biological dad, I guess would be the best way to phrase it, they split because he was a drunk. And my mom did not remarry for a few years, and we lived at my grandparents' farm. And my granddaddy was a big old man. He was about 6'3", 6'4". I mean, he was just a man's man. And he wore overalls, and so I wear overalls. I like overalls. I do it because my granddaddy did it. And I remember, even as a little boy, him taking me fishing. It was one place down on the Ahoopee River. We would go catch suckers. He had a place where he was actually baiting it. And me and him and my grandma would go, we'd sit there with cane poles, and we'd catch him suckers right off the bank. Bill knows what a sucker is. Well, he was a farmer. I remember him putting me on a Farmall Super A and letting me pull a tobacco sled real slow when I was about 6. You say, you remember that? I do remember that. And over the years, I have thought about those things, and I have praised God for those things. I want to remember the key details of my granddaddy. But can I tell you, I want to remember the key details of God working in my life. Hey, when my kids got saved, hey, that was a good day. When I got to baptize my kids, that was a good day. When I baptized some of my grandkids, that was a good day. When I've had you come and talk to me about certain things and us have victory together, those are good days. It's just been good times. And I thank God for all of that. I've had people say, man, you remember a lot of things. I do. I think a lot about things. Now, I hope that, you know, that I don't lose my mind, you know, but if I do, it'll be okay. You know, I think about Brother Don these days. He had a fellow that visited him on Friday night, and I went by to see him yesterday, and I said, preacher, I heard you had a visitor last night. And he said, well, who was it? And I told him, and he said, he's out of prison? And I said, well, yeah, he got out evidently. You know what? The memories that I have of Brother Don will not be that. The memories that I'll have of him is when he and I would pray together. And when he would call me up at 4 o'clock on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon and say, Brother Tom, why don't you preach tonight? And I'm thinking, that's just a lot of time. Brother James knows exactly what I'm talking about. He didn't give you much notice. But those are the memories that I have. I want to have a heart that remembers the details about what God's doing. Receptive, receptive, receptive. I got a letter just this morning. Dear friend of mine, it's a lady. She's been through several strokes, and she struggles health-wise a little bit now. And this is what she wrote this morning. She said, some things are the same but different. I thank the Lord that He is showing me ways to bless others even though I am not what I was. I'm discovering that folks don't really care that I'm not what I was. They only notice that I love them. I can still find ways to show tenderness that is within my remaining power and abilities. The Lord makes it enough for the moment. There is no need to waste time lamenting what is gone or what you're unable to speak in a moment. The Lord doesn't need my words. He only needs His word and my hands. There is no need to fret that I can't do whatever I did in the past any longer. It only matters to keep looking to Christ for ways to serve Him until He is ready to receive me into the heavenly home He is preparing for me. So I will be grateful, be helpful, be useful, be kind, be gentle, be quiet, be a listener, and be an interceder. Yes, that's what I will do. And she signed her name. Her name's Susie. That's the attitude that you and I ought to have. The same way that Mary pondered those things in her heart, we should ponder those things in our heart. The deep thoughts of Mary, we should have thoughts exactly like that.